Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. How do you feel when somebody does not trust you? It's not a very good feeling. And maybe even worse than that is when your trust in somebody else is betrayed. It happens all the time. Friendships dissolve. Marriages disintegrate, families unravel, and even entire societies will crumble if there is a lack of trust. I have seen congregations begin to break apart and wither away in conflict when trust has been betrayed. And we could say, rightly, that trust is at the very basis of our relationship with God. Without it, there can be none. And that's why in the text before us today, with these two resurrection appearances of our Lord, especially the one before doubting Thomas, Jesus is saying to you and me, trust me. Trust me. Now, in the first place, this trust does not mean being gullible or foolish. Nobody could accuse the disciples of Jesus of being gullible, easily persuaded to believe. No, they were behind locked doors because of their fears and anxieties, not because they were expecting Jesus to be raised from the dead. And as the day of resurrection continues, and what a day it was, we see how reticent, unconvinced, fearful, and doubting disciples were changed into people of joy and confidence in their Lord. Peter and the disciple whom Jesus loved, as he was called, undoubtedly John, the author of this text, had seen the empty tomb in response to the report that the body of Jesus was no longer there. And John writes that he saw and believed. Mary Magdalene asserted over and over again, "I have seen the Lord." But still, their level of trust seemed to waver. They didn't quite know what to do about it, so they stayed behind locked doors. They are immobile in their fears and misgivings. But Jesus comes right into their midst in spite of the locked doors, and what is the first thing he says to them? He says, "Peace be with you." Not once, but twice. And he shows them his hands and his side. Now that is just what they needed to hear. Now on the lips of a Jew, this was not an uncommon greeting, to say shalom in Hebrew. It means a lot more than just feeling kind of calm inside. It means a feeling of wholeness, of health, of well-being with God and with life and with one another. It's an important word. It's a common greeting. But then it says he showed them his hands and his side. That was the price that was paid to secure this peace with God. His life given as a sacrifice for them and for us and for the whole world to atone for sin, to reconcile us to God. They were glad. Now that's an understatement. Actually, it says they were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And who wouldn't be? Then he gives them joyful purpose as well. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. That's what it means to be an apostle, one who is sent. And with that purpose also comes power, because it says he breathed on them. That's the creative, life-giving breath of God. And he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." In the power of his Holy Spirit, he would live and act through them. They would be his voice announcing and giving what his death on the cross had procured and his resurrection assured: the forgiveness of sins and life with God forever. But did they trust him? Maybe, but also maybe not quite enough, at least not yet. Because it seemed that they remained immobilized by their fears rather than empowered by their trust in him. They were still afraid. What are you afraid of? or who are you afraid of? How often does our trust get squeezed out by our fears of other people or things that are going on around us and in the world? Sometimes it's even possible that we allow others to have so much power over us instead of our living Lord that we can seem willing to betray nearly everything we believe and everything we confess together, not only Easter Sunday, but every week. Our God, whom we cannot see, can be pushed aside for the false values and delusions of a vain and empty world which we can see. We will sometimes let other people and the world define who we are and what we are to be about instead of Jesus, the conqueror of death and the giver of life. But he does not give up on us, just as he did not give up on these men. He keeps coming back to us, working to build a relationship of trust that's not just about things that are in the head, but in the heart. And yes, he holds out nail-scarred hands to show how much he has loved us. And he communes with us in his Holy Supper, just as he ate and drank with his disciples to show them that he was alive. And yes, he says to you and me, I am sending you out into the world to be my voice, my heart, my hands. And it isn't just proof that makes the difference, although if you want proof of his resurrection, there's plenty of it. But it is his Spirit breathing into your spirit to say, you are a child of God, bought at the price of my blood shed for you. I forgive you, and now you can forgive as you have been forgiven. I give you a new life of trust. But there's even more to this. He deals in love with doubts and uncertainties and hesitancies. We know the story well. Thomas doubted. He demanded proof. He wasn't there. We don't know why he wasn't there, but he wasn't there on that first day of the week. And he says, when the others kept saying, and the word indicates they kept on saying, we have seen the Lord, he said, no, I'm not going to believe it. Not unless I can see the print of the nails in his hands and even put my hand into his side. I will not believe it. At least Thomas was honest about it, because he was not alone in his doubts. For a time, all of them wondered and wouldn't even believe. In Mark's gospel, we are told, but when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, that is Mary Magdalene, they would not believe it. In Luke's gospel, it says, these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them, that is, the women. And when Jesus appeared, he said, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? And even later on, when they gathered at a certain mountaintop in Galilee where Jesus gave them the great commission to go into all the world, it says, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And then there's you and I. Do you ever have doubts? Sometimes we do. But he can work with that, as he did with Thomas. That magnificent moment that came 1 week later. Suddenly Jesus is again present with them right in the midst of their fears and uncertainties, just as he enters into our lives where we are. Doubts and uncertainties and fears as they are, he doesn't wait for us to come to him. He comes to us. And now the one whom Thomas had seen as dead on the cross is vibrantly alive, as he said he would be. And he challenges Thomas to do just what he said. But he also speaks empowering words that he says to you and me as well. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Trust me. It's no longer just a matter of proof. It is a matter of faith. Faith that confesses boldly and confidently with Thomas, my Lord and my God. This man who died and was buried is his Lord and his God. And it's not just Lord and God, but my Lord and my God. He trusts him now, fully and forever. And now Jesus speaks to you and me as he does to everyone who comes to know him. Blessed are those who have not seen but have believed. That is the essence of trust, of faith. And his word to you and me has the power to produce that in us. That faith is a true miracle of his Holy Spirit. And now John adds this. These are written that you may believe. God is saying on every line of Scripture, trust me. I will never lead you astray. Trust me. Even when your eyes and your ears say one thing and my word says another, be willing even to take your reason and your senses captive and believe my promises to you. Trust my word to you that because I live, you shall live also. And then live. Live without fear. Live without unfounded anxiety. Live without hesitation, not only to say it, but to live it. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.